Tommy Gunn, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, KG? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. So
So, Lyle Collins, did he come into your store?
yeah, he was in the shop.
Oh my gosh, man! I remember when Dallas drafted him. He's one of my favorite players on the team back about 10 years ago.
Yeah, very cool guy.
Was he?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put a pair of fucking lab-grown diamond earrings together. So maybe in the future, you never know.
What do you do? Wait, he wants lab-grown earrings?
Yeah, he's got all this fucking jewelry I'll send you a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
But he has one of his CZ earrings. I said, bro, I said, what you need? You need a lab-grown diamond earrings. Oh, they call them L. Matter of fact, my next door fucking girls, the twins I have over here, the blonde and the brunette, the fucking brunette went to high school with him. She recognized him. So I called him over and said, come on over. I got a surprise for you. And of course, they talked and he hugged her and shit like that. Yeah, we just spent some time.
Well, that's
Yeah,
nice.
so all the jewelry, he's got that necklace that I sent you a picture of. He said he paid $140,000 for it.
Oh, wow.
It's over 200 carats of diamonds, some nice fucking diamonds too.
Yeah, and he's got his Outback Bowl ring there, the LSU ring. That's nice.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got some nice pendants there of his what got to be his children and his mother then.
I think it's exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice rings.
Yeah.
What's he looking to do with all that jewelry?
I just cleaned it for him. So a good friend of mine knows him very well. And this guy, he details cars, Tom. He don't just detail any fucking car. He details the baddest fucking cars in town. So he comes and details my wife's Cadillac. He details these, like $100,000 cars or $200,000 fucking cars on fucking me. And look, it's not one day, it's for 3 or 4 days.
Right. So he's taking on the higher end jobs.
Oh, yeah. He don't just mess around with anybody's cars. But
Right.
he'll give me a call, say, open your garage door. And next thing you know, he'll be there at my house from 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And he'll come back the next fucking day, again, from 9 to 9, maybe. And I'll never ask how much I owe him. How much I owe you, DJ? I just give me $1,000. And I know if I figure it out by hours, it's nothing. But
Right.
what he does, he'll do a fucking ceramic coat. He detailed my truck not long ago. They didn't even ask him. So, yeah. So he's friends with him, so he must have some badass cars. So he texted me earlier, says, get your jewelry cleaner ready. And show me a fucking Louis Vuitton briefcase with all the jewelry in it.
So he's got a lot of nice jewelry.
Oh, he does. He's got some fine pieces, like the fucking Cartier watch.
Very nice. Does he live back in Baton Rouge now?
He's got a house in Dallas. He's got a house in Ohio, and he's got a house over here.
So he's spread out all over. Well, he probably has kids in each state.
I don't know how many kids he's got. I only saw one picture of a kid, I think. It's been a busy, busy, busy day today, and I don't think I've run a single fucking dollar in my register besides credit cards.
Everybody had the cards out. Hey, well, they spend too. I know it's nice to get cash, though.
Yeah, that's all right. Look, I'll take whatever comes my way. I'm not greedy. Yeah.
Any work for me? Anything you need from me, I can help with?
No, not today. What was I going to call you about besides this shit here? I can't think of anything right now, Tom. I did have a customer looking at marquee diamonds, but I got some in my showcase, so I showed them those diamonds. I don't know if the boyfriend is going to come here or not. So
is this somebody different that you showed him to?
Yeah, totally different. But somebody I've known, his daughter is getting engaged. So she rang me up, they came by, and spent some time with them, showed them some marquee, different shaped diamonds. Marquee looked the best on her finger.
Yeah, it's funny, I'm hearing more about marquees selling lately.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fancy shapes in general seem to be popular. Everybody wants something different. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. They got tired of the halo and the ovals, man. We were on the fucking roll of the ovals for a while.
Yep, ovals were popular for a while. Nothing shines like a round, though.
And everybody that's been coming here about diamonds, these younger girls don't want no rounds right now, bro. Every shape beside a round shape.
I know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody wants something different, but...
Harry Shyster called me earlier. You buy loose diamonds? Sound like a black guy. I said, no, we don't. Well, then that's when they say somebody else. Oh, it's going to be a lab-grown diamond trying to slip one on you.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Do you have a diamond tester for people that are selling off the street?
Man, honestly, I don't even want to deal with people that I have this suspicious feeling about.
Oh, okay. So you only buy diamonds off people you know.
Huh?
You only buy diamonds off of people you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to handle it. Then you don't have to worry about...
Well, either that or if you have any GIA certificates or EGL or somebody that knows me that told you about me, you know? Not that just fucking call me randomly and say, you buy Louis Diamond?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's just somebody that's... Yeah, fishing for information. Probably calling every store in town.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you see the Trump dance is going viral. All the NFL players were doing the Trump dance this weekend. You had, obviously, John Bones Jones did it. There was a soccer player that did it yesterday for Team USA.
I love it.
This
is the fucking beginning.
Oh,
the Democrats
God.
Are going crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about they're trying to ban the dance. How the hell are you going to ban a dance?
I don't understand how they think or not. But, yeah, that's right. Okay. Good for you.
Yeah, I think everybody's just fed up with it all, you know? Nobody's scared to stand up for it anymore.
I've seen how MSNBC is trying to kiss on Trump's ass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They were making an interview with him, and as much as they have said about him, Donald Trump is fucking just owning him right now. I say, okay, you want to interview me? Come on. This is how you're going to interview me. These are the kind of questions you're going to ask me.
Wow, I'm shocked that he's even giving them an opportunity to give him an interview. Good for him.
Yeah, look, he's playing it. Look how smart he's playing it. You want to interview me? I'm not going to say no. Now you want me to interview you. I'll be glad to interview you, but this is how you're going to play it, by my rules.
Mm-hmm, right.
I don't need your fucking interview, but if you really want to interview me, we got to play by my rules. That man is a, you know, he's a smart businessman. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, definitely. He's one step ahead of everybody else.
Yep, always. Always.
And that's the way you have to be when you're run when you're running the country.
Dude, and about this fucking fight with Armand, the same fucking weekend, is my niece is having her baby shower.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm all about a baby fucking shower or not, but my brother-in-law, who's a pilot with Southwest Airlines, I think I told you about him anyway, that he was in the airplane. He said, brother-in-law, no, can't do. Got to be in town for that shower. I'm going, fuck.
Is it his daughter?
No, it's his niece.
Oh, okay. Well, I know they do. I know they do the baby showers now for, you know, for the family, you know, for men and women. I was at one for my buddy last year.
Lock this phone. I hope I didn't hurt your heads.
So what you're saying is, you may be going to the baby shower.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Is it her first child?
Yeah.
Oh.
So she's the first one to be married in our family from my brother's side and my side. But I'm the first one from our family side to be a grandfather without my son getting married. Do it the old American way.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Not many people do it the traditional way nowadays anyways.
I know, tell me about it.
Paul does want to marry her, though, doesn't he? He was looking to get engaged.
Come here, Jesse. God damn it. Hold on a second, Tom. If my UPS driver would have laid box for me. Hey, Jesse. Man, I appreciate you, bro. Because I got a text. It said that the package would be delayed by one business day.
Yeah, it made it seem like it was going to hold it again, huh?
Yeah. So, man, look.
He made a late call. Like I said earlier, he said it was coming out. And I said the message was like 2:30. I'm like, come on now. What a pain. It's coming back.
Oh, man.
Said, my shuttle called me. He was like, I'm on the way, too.
Really?
So he had to meet some other people in the time.
Man, I appreciate
it. The last time, just told me that. Deacon Emmett, she was like, I thought you
were
coming
for
tomorrow.
Yeah. Hi, Jesse. Thank you, brother. Huh? Well, I mean, it was a delay. Okay, what I read on the thing on my text, this is what it did. It says, a late flight has caused a delay. Your package will be delayed by one business day.
A late flight.
Yep.
Well, then they kind of, we can get out more details. Not on the
well, this is my guy that sent me the package, sent me that. There he is. What up, Rafi? Man, look, I got the best UPS fucking driver in the country. I sent him a picture of the tracking number. He said, that truck might be coming in a little late. So I was just showing him your text message saying that it's going to be delayed by one business day. He said, shit, I was going to bring it to you. So... he brought it to me. Thank you, Jesse. All right, buddy. Yeah, Rafi. So I got the package. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Hey, Tom, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
And this is how my day has been.
Well, hey, you got a package last minute. That's good.
Well, I got a good driver, bro. I got a good UPS driver. I've got a good FedEx driver. I take care of them, and they take care of me. Well, Tom, you gotta find this fucking show with Sylvester Stallone, Tulsa King.
Tulsa King, right?
Bro, this fucking second season is bad to the bone.
Is it?
Oh, my God. So I'll give you a little bit of a hint. So Sylvester Stallone becomes king of Tulsa, pretty much so. He's got the whole fucking Tulsa running it like he wants to, everything. Several different rival gangs, you know. He don't fucking know. He just takes care of them. Long story short, middle of the night, at the end of the fucking season, his house gets busted into with military-type people, a Black Hawk helicopter, people dressed in black, face mask, everything. Can't see nobody. They take him and bring him to this place where only military-type of people use, like these bright lights and hallways as long as you can see. Anyhow,
like a torture-type thing to try to pull information from
so,
him?
Pretty much so, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he opens his eyes, he's looking at this fucking camera. He can't see the person in front of him. That's how bright the lights are.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever it is, the voice says, from now on, you work for us. They're telling the mafia fucking boss that from now on, he works for them.
Wow.
That's how this season ended.
So another mafia organization got a hold of him, or it could be the government.
I think it's the fucking government, because mafia does not come like that. They don't come with Black Hawk. They don't come with military style. They don't have them kind of torture places.
Right. You know,
they bring you in the bottom of a fucking alley or the back of the restaurant and teach you a lesson.
Right, exactly.
I'm thinking it's either the CIA or FBI or ATF or whoever the fuck it is.
Right, some government agency that's shit.
Or the fucking called KL that's mixed up with the government.
Mm-hmm. So what's his deal? I know he runs the whole city, but he's involved in what, like drugs and stuff?
Legally, you know, those dispensaries.
Yeah.
Fuck, he bought a fucking farm, 15,000 acres of farmland that they fucking plant marijuana. They sell it legally. Oklahoma is one of those states supposedly is legal.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this place where you can go and buy anything you want, cookies, whatever, you know, just unfucking believable. And he bought a fucking dealership, opened up a casino, got different businesses. I mean, the whole town is under him.
How'd he get all his money? Did they say, or does it start?
When you watch season one, episode one, when he gets out of jail and he goes to Oklahoma, the cab driver that he ends up using him as his private driver, he's bringing him to some cheap-ass motel, and they stop by this place, or they pull up by this place. It's a dispensary. He goes, what is that? He says, oh, this is where you can buy weed legally. He says, really? He walks in, and a minute later or two, he talks to the owner, and he becomes a business partner with him without putting a dime. He says, I'm gonna protect you from the FBI. He says, this is federal shit. It's okay, you know. I'm not worried about the FBI. He says, I'm gonna be protecting you. That's how he starts getting money. And he opens the vault, and he takes $50,000 from the vault in front of him. He says, this is the cut for this week. And he sends his wife. He says, you go buy me a fucking an SUV, a nice ass car. So the guy goes to the dealership with $50,000, want to buy him an SUV. The dealership owner turns him down because he thinks he's a drug dealer or something.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay. So the guy go back and tells Sylvester Stallone that he says they wouldn't sell him a car. The next day they get in the vehicle, go to the dealership. He'll beat the fuck out of the dealership owner. He says, the next time my acquaintance come over here and ask for a vehicle, you should just sell it to him without making a big deal. So he says, sell him a Navigator, a Lincoln Navigator.
So basically, basically he's like the mafia.
He is the mafia, yeah. But
right.
He left the New York mafia and came to Tulsa because the New York mafia sent him to Tulsa. Said there's nothing for him left in New York. So he has to start all over again. Now the New York mafia wants piece of the fucking pie. They got another mafia in Oklahoma, wants piece of that fucking pie too. They got another mafia, not an Italian mafia, just an organized kind of thing underground. And of course, He wipes them all out. But, bruh, it's good. It starts out with bikers.
Biker gangs that are in
Yeah,
Oklahoma?
We started out, bikers were selling drugs, mm-hmm. and he took care of them. He don't sell drugs, but he's into the gambling and whatever else, you know, restaurant, food, different, you know, dispensary and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to get into it. I know. You've mentioned it a few times now. I've seen it on Prime. I have it.
Let me tell you, you watch one episode, you ain't done. You're going to want to watch the second one and the third one and the fourth one. Next thing you know, you are hours in front of the TV just watching it back to back to back.
That's usually how I do these.
Me too.
Series. I'll crank out like 7 or 8 episodes all at one time.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I get into it, say, fuck it, I'm going to sleep late, and I finish it all up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, look up. That's a good one to find and watch. And another one is Deep, is The Old Man with Dennis Quaid.
What's it called, Deep?
The Old Man.
Oh, The Old Man. Okay.
Yes.
I haven't heard of that one.
That's a good one, too. But Tulsa King, shit.
Yeah, I'll get on that. I gotta start watching that. I'll start watching that this week.
Yeah. All right.
All right, KG. I'll let you go. Have a good rest of the night.
All right, brother. You too. Take care.
All right. Yep. Later.
Bye-bye.